Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Goes wide to Giacimi on that right-hand side. Drills it across. Oh, it's got in! Giacimi is open to scoring for the Addicts. Took Andreessen completely by surprise. It's good hold-up play by Davison on the edge of the area in the first place. Sets up Giacimi, who drilled it across. And the keeper can only parry it into his own net.
It was a strange goal, wasn't it?
I think it took everybody by surprise, that one.
Yeah.
Heavy touch and it'll be comfortable for Charlton to deal with. Gilbert collects. Asia kick goes long, looking for Washington. It's a great kick. Washington gets behind the defender, chips it over the goalkeeper. Connor Washington makes it two. This says for Craig Gilbert the difference. Beats the Morecambe defence and Connor Washington uses his pace and a lovely dink over the goalkeeper. And Charlton make it 2-0.
What a great assist by the keeper, wasn't it? Early kick. He saw the 2v2 situation up front and he kicked it perfectly inside the centre half, and the pace of Washington really showed there, and he got in the back of him with a beautiful finish, dinked it over the keeper.
Trying to get there, but it's cleared forward by Morgan up towards Stockton. He's trying to hold off Gunter. It goes down and the referee gives the penalty. Feels that Stockton used his body well. Gunter fouled him in the end, and Morecambe have an opportunity to get back into the game. That's a yellow card for Chris Gunter. Stockton steps up right footed and strikes it down the middle. And Morecambe have a lifeline back in this game.
But it won't be in time for this corner. Coming from the Charlton right-hand side. McGilvery's touched in, easy goal. Jones has got it. Too easy. Free header. I guess if you're a Charlton point of view, could McGilvery come for that? No, it's O'Connor who's got it.
It's a good delivery, but it's been coming because they keep giving cheap free kicks away in corners, and sooner or later you pay the price.
Clear with the throw. Headed clear. And as far as Dobson. The referee blows the whistle just as Dobson was about to pull the trigger. Whether anything would have come from that is a debatable one, but oh, if that had gone in, there was 9 seconds left when he blew the whistle. And Dobson is incensed. Now, whether or not that was going anywhere near the goal, who knows? But anyway, the Charlton fans are showing and telling the referee exactly what they think of him. Blew up as he shot. I've never seen that. But anyway, it's ended up all square here at the Mazuma Stadium.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendez and we'll be looking back at the 2-2 draw with Morecambe and of course ahead to Saturday's trip up to Shrewsbury. Joining me to do just that, first up, a man who spent a lovely evening with me in Morecambe. How is Benji Cloak? How did Ben?
I'm good, mate. Just recovering from it. It was a lovely evening, wasn't it?
All sorts of good things happened up in Morecambe. A first trip for the Addicts up that way, and it's a very nice little town. And also joining us to discuss the two games, Mark Newbury. How do you, Mark?
Hey, you should remember what happens in Morecambe stays in Morecambe, all right?
Well, I mean, I hope not, but because we've got a point there, and I'd like that to come back to the Valley with us, but there we go. Are you well, Mark? Did you watch the game on Tuesday?
I did watch the game. Yeah. It was... what shall we say, game of two halves, the archetypal one, I think. So, yeah. But we'll get on to that in a minute, I'm sure.
Certainly will. We've just heard the goals, of course, from the game. We've got the post-match reaction from the caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson. We've got your tweets and emails and a bit of fans bar from some of those who made the trip, some of the 690 up to the Mazuma Stadium as well later on. We're going to speak to Jacko about his future. I did ask him on Tuesday if there's any updates. I think it's fair to say things are sounding quite positive on that front now. So we'll hear Jacko, what he has to say on that. And of course, we'll look ahead to Saturday's trip up to the New Meadow. We've got Lewis Cox, of course, an expert on Shrewsbury Town. He probably knows how to pronounce it, whether it's Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury. How many years we've been in the same league? Still don't know. So he's going to tell us what to expect from Steve Cotterill's side. And we've got a little bit of injury news as well from Jacko ahead of the game. So, I mean, we just heard the goals there, Ben, from the game. Absolutely flying start, wasn't it? 2-0 up inside what felt like no time at all, but then pegged back almost immediately after our second goal with the penalty, and then they were back in it in midway through the second half, really, just less than 20 minutes from the end. How do you sum that one up? Unbeaten still, bit frustrating at the end. Which way did you see it?
Obviously disappointed, because when you squander a 2-0 lead, it's obviously disappointing no matter who you play. But I think if you look at the game as a whole, we played some great football that made us lead the game 2-0. So that was good. And as you said, we let them back into it literally, a minute after we scored our second. And I think if we would have held out to half time at 2-0, we would have won the game easily. But as I said, if you look at it as a whole, we're missing three centre-backs. So we're filling in positions with Gunter playing there and Sean Clare playing in a different position as well. And of course, that because of different players playing in different positions, it's going to catch up at some point. Whether it was a penalty or not, obviously the ref gave it. And the second goal was a bit sloppy to concede, free header from a corner. But overall, yeah, not too despondent, because as I said, in that first half, we played some really good football, and that second goal was probably our best goal of the season so far. Such a great ball by Craig and a great finish from Connor. And the football leading up to that point was so good that it was so encouraging. So, yeah, again, as you said, we're unbeaten still under Jacko. Let's not be too despondent. We are missing certain players. And let's hope we take some confidence from that first 20-odd minutes or so into Saturday's game then.
Yeah, I think it became clear as well once they got it back to 2-2 that Morecambe were happy to sit in and make it really difficult for us to break them down. There was a point where we were sort of sat in line with sort of midway through the half that Charlton were attacking in the second period. There's one point where we picked up the ball and they had two banks of four sitting so deep that you did think, oh, we're going to struggle here. To try and break them down, and we did look a little bit laboured and perhaps tired in that last 20 minutes when we were trying to find the breakthrough. But I mean, Mark, we take the unbeaten run. That's the most important thing. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, a point on the road's not the end of the world. Especially as we said that we've started so brightly. There's certainly quite a few positives to take from it, and you'll take the negatives, of course, from the sloppy defending for the second goal in particular.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think most people would have looked at it and say, you know, you get 4 points out of Plymouth and Morecambe and you'll be happy with that. Most people would have thought that we'd maybe get a draw with Plymouth because they were top and we made them look very ordinary. In fact, we broke them because they lost again 3-0. And Morecambe is a whole different ballgame. I just think our energy level wasn't as high as it had been. I think one or two players just didn't look in the game. And I just thought possibly the substitutions were a bit, how can I say, it wouldn't be my choice.
Yeah, which ones didn't you like? I'm curious to hear.
Well, I think Kirk coming on, I thought he's kind of player fine. You've got some time now, you know, you're going to show, you're going to impress. And he just didn't. He just kept trying to come in onto his right peg and wasn't really interested in beating his man. And I was disappointed with Kirk because I thought to myself, you know, surely this is your first chance to get onto the pitch under Jacko. You want to go on there and you want to be trying everything. He hugged the line, but he didn't really do anything.
So are you saying you would have brought someone else on, or are you just disappointed with how Charlie performed when he came on?
I'd probably given Burstow more of a time because I thought that Josh Davison hadn't really done as good as he had in previous games. I thought he was looking a bit laboured. He wasn't getting any joy out of the defenders. You know, the ball, he was doing little layoffs and stuff, but his movement wasn't. And I know Burstow's young and stuff, but I think he's keen and he can score goals. He's quick. So I think he needs more than 5 minutes. And I was disappointed with Kirk's chance, with Kirk's not taking the chance with two hands and going, yeah, I'm really going to show you. Yeah. I think you look at that and you think to yourself, would you be looking, if you're looking at the bench behind you and you've got Leko and you've got Kirk, you're thinking, well, which one am I going to put on? Who's going to possibly make that change? And at the moment, it would be Leko.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Leko travelled but wasn't on the bench on Saturday. But we got mixed reviews, actually, for Charlie Kirk. It's funny, actually, Ben, we were talking about it, weren't we, on the train back. I mentioned I'd looked on the forum and he was getting pelters. But then you speak to one or other two people on the train and stuff, and they were like, oh, I thought we did okay. He was only on for 12 minutes as well, obviously not the most amount of time to try and make a difference. I mean, the first goal, the goalkeeper's got to be doing a lot better for them, for Morecambe inside a minute. But it's nice to see DJ twisting inside and out, as we know he can do. That second goal, you've mentioned it already, Ben, but that's one of the most pleasing, aesthetically pleasing goals we've scored already this season. Excellent distribution from Craig McGivray, which isn't something I've really picked up on so far. I don't know if I've seen him do too much of that. But Connor Washington, whoa, he's absolutely flying at the moment.
Clinical Connor. Yeah, it's a beautiful finish, wasn't it? And yeah, we saw that on Saturday, a real composed finish from him. And yet again, another composed finish. So that'll give him massive amounts of confidence, because in games previous, Rotherham game to be exact, he had so many chances in that game where he had a couple of one-on-ones and a couple of other chances where he blazed them over. And then the goal he did score was from outside the box, 3-4, hit and hope, and got a little deflection and went in. And he said, well, that was out of pure frustration. So, look, we know he's got it in the bag. He's got goals in his locker. And obviously, his main attribute is running around, getting in the channels and giving space to others. But it was such a composed finish. And as you said from Craig, what a ball. And what a great finish. Literally couldn't believe it. We were all like mouths open going, surely not. And yeah, great lob over the keeper there. And yeah, he had another good game from Connor. And I must say, for the first goal, that was such a good free-flowing little move as well. I know it was probably a cross from DJ, kind of drilled it in, and the keeper should have done better. But Josh Davison did do well for that. I think he held it up there well and passed it across to DJ. So he does those parts of the games well, Josh, but it's just getting in the right areas for when we're getting crosses into the box. I thought he could have done more for, but that second goal was a beauty.
Yeah, it really was. And considering we know that we've been without Stockley for two games now, and we've got Saturday coming up, I think our fear was that we were going to struggle to score goals. And it definitely, you'd say that if Jaden was on the end of some of those crosses we saw on Saturday against Plymouth, we probably would have had a couple more. But you know, we scored twice in each of those games. It's not like we're all of a sudden struggling for goals without Jaden. We've done reasonably well without him. Now, obviously, you know, when we got that second goal, we were flying. It felt at that point that we could go on and get more, but we were immediately pegged back. What were your views on the penalty, Mark? I think Carl Stockton, we knew all about him beforehand because of that amazing goal we scored against Fleetwood. But very physical, really good at turning his striker and really good at holding off players. Now, the argument is, was he pushing back Chris Gunter? You know, was there a foul either way? It's a tough one. Having watched it back, I'm not sure that we've got much of a defence there. But having said that, I'm interested in others' views. So what did you make of it, Mark?
No, it's a penalty. I'd be screaming for it if it was against us. If you listen to, well, you wouldn't have listened to you, but Brownie in the studio was saying, you know, you don't get pushed back 10 yards by the centre forward backing into you. He said you either foul him outside the box and take the hit there, or you do better. He said you don't just keep backing and backing in. Stockton's a good forward, so he did exactly the right thing, and the referee didn't have a choice. I didn't think it was a sending off. I think their manager claimed he should have got a red card for that, but I think that's kind of like a cynical one you do at knee high. That's a red card. You know, falling backwards because there's two guys wrestling is not a sending off offence. And to be honest, I've always liked my goalkeepers just to stay in the middle, because percentage of penalties which get hit straight down the throat, you know, that would have hit Macca and he'd have saved it. As soon as you start diving, unless you're really lucky, it's going to go past you and in anyway. So, you know, it's a penalty. I no grumbles about that. But I agree with what Ben said earlier. I think if we'd got to half time at 2-0, you know, we could probably knocked up a cricket score in the second half. But, you know, 2-1 is what they always say. It's one of those ones can turn on a knife edge. So their second goal, I agree with Jacko, it was a foul on Sean Clare. But, you know, again, you don't get it. You switch on and deal with it. You play to the whistle. And unfortunately, we did miss Stockley in defence, like we missed Pierce. But you have to deal with what you've got. I mean, they targeted Gunter. They said they looked at him in the three and went, you know, he's the weakest against our most experienced striker. Even as experienced as Gunter is, he was out of position. So we didn't really have an option, as it were.
And then, yeah, I mean, as Mark said, we didn't defend the corner very well. And again, I think Jacka would be frustrated with that. But those last sort of 20 minutes or so were quite frustrating as well, Ben, because we did see a lot of the ball and we didn't really create much. I mean, Elliot Lee was trying bits and pieces on the edge of the area. It's interesting. There was a couple of times I thought he could have had a shot, actually, from outside the area. But he was interested in trying to play our way through, which, to be fair, has worked very well for him at times this season. And then what about that slightly controversial moment at the full-time whistle where George Dobson was lining up a shot? Now, it got charged down, so it's not really hitting the headlines. But if he'd buried that in the bottom corner and then the referee blew the whistle whilst it was on its way in, that could have been a slightly hairy moment for him.
Yeah, definitely caused a bit of controversy in the crowd. I didn't see too much in it, to be fair. I mean, we were just on the edge of the box. A ref shouldn't blow at that position anyway. I didn't see the clock, but a lot of people said they're watching the clock at home and he definitely blew too early. Whether the club got the clock right or not, I don't know. But yeah, it was a little bit annoying because you thought, oh, the ball bounced back to us when Dobson had that shot. But the second half was frustrating. I think we could have played for another half an hour and we still wouldn't have scored. We just were very slow in our lead-up play, trying to get to goal. I think everyone was taking one too many touches. And as you just said so rightly, I think Elliot Lee and Alex Gilby, they're two players that have got goals in the bag. They know that they're good at scoring goals. They've done so previously. Lee's done it at Luton. Gilby's done it at Milton Keynes. And at the moment, they haven't scored enough goals that they'd like to. I mean, Gilby's missed a few gilt-edged opportunities in the last few weeks. Elliot Lee, I know he scored a couple of goals, has it, so far for us, but he should have had a few more. But I think for both of them, especially Gilby, once they get that goal, I think it'll give them a lot more confidence. But I don't know whether it's Jacko's orders to keep the ball flowing and not take a shot from outside the box, but we definitely could have, especially in the first half when we had a few chances. But I thought the build-up play was good. I just thought it was a little bit slow. We looked like we were getting there, but we never really troubled their keeper in the second half, which in the end was disappointing. I'd go against Mark there with Charlie Kirk. I mean, I don't think his natural position is a winger. So maybe that he's not, his main inclination isn't to try and beat the man. I thought his main position is like an Elliot Lee number 10 role. I thought he was okay when he came on. He's got put out as kind of a left wing back position and put Purrington at centre back. So I thought he did okay, brought the ball up well. Okay, he's lacking in confidence, so we might not see the best of him. But I was a bit frustrated with Corey Blackett-Taylor, actually. I thought every time their defender knew what he was going to do because he tried to go down the line every time. He never tried to cut inside and he never tried to get a ball across properly. It was always, I'll do five or six step overs, get to the byline and then I'll try and chip one in. And we got a couple of corners from that, but it was never going to work. Their defender had him sus. And in the end, their defender who was doing it got man of the match. So, yeah, look, as we said earlier, it was frustrating, but we're not really annoyed because we've seen what this team can do. And obviously, we are missing the likes of Jaden, who is a threat in the box. And these, as I said earlier, Lee and Gilby just need that another goal for Lee and a goal for Gilby. We'll see them get more and more confidence to hopefully take some shots more.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a listen then to what Johnny Jackson made of the game. He spoke to BBC London after the draw up at Morecambe.
Yeah, I am. I'm disappointed that we haven't won the game, especially from the position that we was in. You know, we had such a great start scoring early. Then backing it up with another one, and you know, we've put ourselves in a great position in the game, and to not see it out to get Pep back is disappointing. But yeah, it's the unbeaten run goes on. It's not an easy place to come. That much is certain. So, it's another point on the board, isn't it? We're disappointed because we had the game there to be won. And I mean, even at the end, I think we're pushing for the winner, hoping we might get it. But ultimately, we didn't, and we take a point and move on.
They left everything out there, didn't they? They gave absolutely everything for you. Why do you think you weren't able to hold on to it?
Well, obviously they've got one back quite quickly after our second, which gives, when there's only a goal in it, you're only sort of maybe a set piece, a corner, or any sort of situation away from potentially them scoring again. So that was the case. They got a corner, they scored from a corner. A bit disappointed with that and the nature of it. I thought my team responded well after that, and we're pushing for the winner at the end. Did we test their goalie enough? Probably not. But we had a lot of good situations in and around the box where Morecambe defended well. I thought they made blocks, they put bodies on the line, and my lads, they left it all out there trying to win the game, and I thought we made changes to try and go and win the game. I didn't want to settle for a point. Tried to be positive with the changes we made to go and win it. Didn't work out that way, but not everyone's going to come here and win, that's for sure.
Nearly 700 fans here tonight. They were singing your name. I'm sure they enjoyed the effort they saw from their players.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't fault my players' efforts at all. They're giving me everything, and it's difficult. It's a quick turnaround from Saturday. Didn't make a lot of changes, so the challenge was, could we bring the same energy? Was the energy levels there same as Saturday? Maybe we dipped off of that a little bit. It was a little bit sloppy with our play at times. That can be, maybe that's a little bit of tiredness. It certainly wasn't through a lack of effort. That much is sure. So, they're giving me everything, the lads. Can't ask no more.
And Johnny, in my preparation for this game, I was looking back on caretaker roles. Back in 2003, David Pleat spent 8 months as the caretaker at Spurs. Would you be happy with that situation?
Yeah, 8 months is a bit long, isn't it? No, I wouldn't be happy with that. Bloody hell. That would be a while. But I've just got to keep taking care of the next game and the next game. Going to be back on the road again pretty soon, travelling to Shrewsbury with another big game and another big test. And said to the boys there, if we go there and win, we've had a pretty good week, haven't we? So it's important that when you don't win, you don't lose. And we had another point to the tally. Just keep trying to see where it takes us.
Do you think you can still get promotion? You've got 27 games left.
Yeah, it's difficult. You could come the game's 2-2, and I'm thinking, well, we need to go for the win because of where we find ourselves in the league. We need to push for the win. Where in another circumstance, you might say, take your point, move on to the next one, but we're up against it and where we are in the league and how many points we are behind. So, but like you said, there's a lot of football to be played. There's a lot of points to be picked up, which I'm confident that we will, and just got to see where it takes us. But I can't put any targets on it.
That was Jacko there, looking back at Tuesday's, I should say, 2-2 draw up on the northwest coast. A bit frustrated, I think, at the end, but at the same time, it is another game unbeaten. It is another game to take forward. Sort of spoke about how he brought on a sub, Mark, to try and chase the game, because we are in a situation now where, if there's a game there to be won, we need every single point we can get, because I think it is going to be a tall order to get into those playoffs. So I expect to see a lot of those sort of more positive substitutions, where he does look to bring on the likes of Kirk, who could, on paper, make something happen, because we need the points, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. I mean, it is another point, and it is another one on the old unbeaten sheet. But he knew himself that we weren't, at the same levels we had got to. And whether it'd been through tiredness, because of the efforts before. And you're right, we are way more attacking than we were under Atkins, which is a beauty to see. And it's, I know it sounds like I was dissing Charlie Kirk. You're right, it may not be his natural position. He just didn't impress me for those 10 minutes. But again, the options until people are back. I know Lecco's possibly has got a chance, whether he brings him straight back in up front. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, I think, there were other players who weren't, doing their normal levels of what you expect him to do. And it's difficult with Jacko because he doesn't want to change it too much, and he can't change it too much because we don't have an abundance of personnel there. And it's hard to see what changes he would bring in for Shrewsbury on Saturday. You know, defensively, I think we have to keep it as it is, and I really can't see him changing it at all, unless you know, he's got some more kids in the squad up there. But even so, I mean, put Claydon on the bench, I don't think so. You know, it's a struggle, and we don't know if anyone's got picked up any kind of knocks. So
yeah, and we'll find out, I guess, on Saturday. So Ben, I mean, we're going to hear the fans bar in a minute. Or a little mention we should have for our first trip to Morecambe. It's good fun. We all had our photo by the Eric Morecambe statue, and I don't know if anyone saw on the Facebook group. Vince, who's quite a well-known Charlton fan. We were sat in the pub having lunch, and all of a sudden Vince turns up in a checkered tuxedo and a bow tie, and we were like, "Come on, that's a bit overdressed, isn't it?" But the reason he did it was he's got a mate who lives next door to him who's the absolute spitting image of Eric Morecambe, so he went and had his photo taken at the statue. But yeah, it was a good time had up there, and a good night in a pub after, Ben. It was a nice little place.
Yeah, their hospitality was booming, wasn't it? I mean, in our hotel we were in, it was all Charlton fans. Our friend was in another hotel up the road, all Charlton fans in there. And yeah, it was nice because, yeah, lovely little club. I mean, what, do they get 2,000-3,000 a game? And on a Tuesday night in November, that place is going to be dead, isn't it? And yeah, lovely hospitality. And I think one of their, it was either the chairman or owner of the club, like, wrote a nice tweet and said how good Charlton fans were and how many we brought, and brought a great atmosphere. And again, as we said before, it's just a great vibe at the club at the moment. As Mark mentioned earlier, we're playing some great football under Jacko, some attacking football. We're making subs and going for the game. That it's the fans clapped them off at the end because we could see that energy there from the player. They kept trying to the final whistle. And who knows, a game like this a month ago, we might have lost the game in the end because maybe we would have gone defensive and thought a draw was a decent result. But no, we didn't sit on that. We went for it. And yeah, we had a nice night after. Pub stayed open late for us all. And yeah, lovely place. But a shame we didn't see Tyson Fury, the local celeb.
Yeah, well, we thought we saw him possibly the next morning because we saw someone running and boxing. But it could have been anyone, really. Tyson Fury, he was spotted by Harry Murphy, actually. He reckons a few hours before the game, his boxing gym was right by the stadium. And Harry said he saw him there, one of the Charlton fans who was up there. But let's hear some more Charlton fans who were up there. We did a fans bar in the pub after the game, and this is what they made of the performance against Morecambe.
Just gutted, really. Gutted, to be honest, because I think up until that penalty decision, we was bossing it. I could see us actually battering them, potentially. And then the ref and the linesman have let Stockton get away with absolute murder on Gunter, forcing Gunter to make the foul and then give them the penalty and then gave them a route back into the game.
Very
really.
Disappointed. We didn't create enough chances. Morecambe defended well. They didn't create many chances. We didn't put the ball in a box where it mattered. The creativity was not best.
First half, I thought we couldn't get near us, to be fair. I thought we played good football at times. Coming up to half-time, obviously 2-0 up. I thought it was a very soft pen. I thought the guy had Gunter just as much as Gunter had his shirt. Second half, I thought we sat deeper and deeper. And then obviously set piece, he's at the front post, should be clearing it, to be fair. Just another sloppy goal, but overall 4 points out of Plymouth and Morecambe tonight, I don't think we can complain, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I mean the marking weren't great, you know, the fella had pretty much a free header from what I could see, so you know, things like that ain't good enough. But like I say, I do feel like the officials gave Morecambe a route back into the game.
Absolutely could have done better from the corner. I don't think it was a penalty from the first viewing I saw. Should have defended better. Yeah, I thought Gilby was good in midfield. And I did like Elliot Lee's contribution.
Obviously, Stockley's a big miss up top, holds the ball up for us quite well. Obviously, not having Pearce in the middle of the back three. I think if we had Pearce there tonight, we don't let a 2-0 lead slip.
I'd love an announcement this week. I am expecting one that Jacko would be made permanent. I like to think he'd really like the job and wants it. And I'd like to think that he'd get the job. I think he should deserves the job after the performances and the way he gets the team going. I really care.
I don't mind Sangard taking his time a little bit. But to be fair, you know, with some of the candidates that get in links, like Hasselbank, you know, I don't think Harris is going to get linked with it, but he was seen at the Valley doing some scouting and things like that, which got everyone to knickers in a twist. But yeah, no, like I just think really, out of the candidates that are out there, I just think why not give it to Jackson? You know, he's you know, he knows the team, he knows the way Charlton sort of gets success because he's been there, done it as a player, so just think, you know, you can't go wrong by giving him a chance.
To be perfectly honest, when Jackson was given the role at the start, I didn't really want him because I didn't think he was experienced enough. However, he has made me eat my words, to be fair, and I do think I can't see anyone else coming in apart from him. It's clear the players back him, the fans back him, and now we just need the board to back him.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good challenge by Gunter and Charlton can break it. It's 3-on-2. Jayasimi switches the play across to Washington. Washington, ball forward to Stockley. Can he get there? Stockley still with it. Jaden Stockley! Charlton 2, Crewe 0. A great counter-attack from the Addicts. Washington calm, composed on the ball. Fast forward to Stockley, who just let the ball run across him. Takes it past Jaskalainen and finishes.
Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. We had the fans bar from Morecambe before the break there. And of course, obviously a lot of discussion about the future of our caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson. Now, as you may have seen, quotes feel like things are getting closer now. And when Jacko was doing his interview after the game on Tuesday with the TV first, he said he'd had some really good positive discussion with the owner, Thomas Sangard, who, of course, was in attendance at the Mizuma Stadium. So I just asked Jacko when I spoke to him after, just for a little bit more on that progress. Does he feel like he's getting a little bit closer to where he wants to be? And that's, of course, the full-time manager of Charlton Athletic.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, all the feedback's been good. It's been positive. He's recognised what we're doing and how far we've come in such a short period of time. If you think the last game that Thomas was over for was the Accrington game before Saturday, and when you look at where we was after that game to where we was on Saturday, you know, it's been a bit of a remarkable sort of quick turnaround. So, you know, he saw that. He's obviously, you know, he's pleased with how it's going, and we've had some good discussions.
Okay, Mark, so it sounds like wheels are in motion. That's what people seem to be saying now, and it's you know, I think we're getting closer to what would appear to be the obvious decision. I'm really excited.
Oh, I truly hope so. I mean, I know they've said, you know, they've asked for a bit of patience, which, as I said before, you know, no football fans aren't particularly known for. And I'm so glad, because I think if a certain manager And I did say on Twitter that if someone had been offered the job, that I was going to nail my scrotum to a rusty fairground ride. And I have no desire to do that.
Yeah, I don't think they had any fairground rides in Morecambe. You would have to have gone to Blackpool for that. But yeah, I don't think anyone needs to see that or even hear it, to be fair. But
no, possibly not. But no, but I've just no desire to see that person managing the club. So, you know, yeah, I know it's difficult because we do want, you know, Jacko to be put in permanently. And you think that will give us another uplift. And it's funny because they've just put out this week about getting the half-season tickets. And you've got to think to yourself, you know, if they said, right, announce Jacko, announce for half-season ticket, you know that would probably take 500. Boom, straight away, people might go, you know what, I wasn't sure. But it's a strange thing. I understand to a degree, you know, because maybe he feels a bit burnt by the information he had with Atkins. But I don't see the logic in delaying that far because it's... And like I say, there's no one out there who I'm thinking could come in and get what Jacko's got out of those players. I really don't. I mean, it's a man who knows a club so well, knows the player so well. The players obviously respect him. I mean, the fact that, you know, he's not gaffer to them. He's still Jacko. It's like when Boya took over and he was still Bo to the players. And I mean, because it's almost like a sign of respect. They don't feel we've got to be subservient to him. We can respect him. He knows what we're going through because it's not that long ago since he was a player. He knows a club. He knows the fans. I mean, I love the bits. I know it's divided some people having the camera in the dressing room and the bits they've put out afterwards. But you see him speaking to the players afterwards, and the players are so attentive, listening, and it's coming from the heart. And you're thinking, is another manager going to come in and get that and be able to emote like that to those players? Because he's on their level. And yeah, he's got decisions. He's got big shoulders. He can take it. He can make the right decisions. So, you know, the sooner it happens, I think the happier we will all be. Because I think there's always a 10% chance you look and go, what if a job came up in a championship and someone said, you know what, why don't we approach Johnny Jackson? He's doing a really good job. And Jacko might think, you know what, I am a good manager. I know I'm going to be a good manager. There's a championship club, mid-table, you know, say Reading. Why, you know, maybe I do want to do that. So I don't think it benefits Thomas to sit on his hands for too long. Mm. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, as I said, it does sound like everything we're hearing now, that the wheels seem to be in motion for what we hope will be the right decision. Right, let's have a look at some of the messages then that came in after the game against Morecambe and, of course, ahead of Saturday's trip to Shrewsbury. Phil says, disappointed with the draw. I think we missed a trick by not putting our only centre-back on Stockton. Fainway would never have been pushed that far back for the penalty. If he had fouled Stockton, who was pulling Gunter's shirt the whole time, the foul would definitely have been outside the area. Also, strange that Lavelle spent time briefing Fainway on how to play Stockton and then we put another player on him. I had said after Saturday that I felt the players would struggle after the Plymouth game. I'm not one that accepts all this rubbish about playing two games in 3 days, apart from but they gave so much on Saturday that the players on this occasion were bound to suffer. Though they played okay, but any stray passes are not the same. Effort and commitment in midfield saw gaps in our ranks, which may not have been there in recent games. Hopefully the lads will be allowed 2 days rest before light training on Friday to prepare for Saturday. Shame we couldn't hold out, as we'd now be only 7 points off the playoffs. Well, yeah, the lads did stay up in Lancaster, I think, the night after the game, which is unusual. So they stayed on the Tuesday night, did their sessions on I guess their warm down sessions would have been on Wednesday, and then they had today off actually Thursday, back in tomorrow. That's also why we haven't got any press conference stuff from Jacko on this week's pod from today, because he's not doing it till tomorrow. As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, what are they going to announce? But it was just because they're not in today, they had the day off. Right, Reg says, now the fifth repeat of this message, Johnny Jackson, our manager, that's it, that's the tweet. I've tried translating it into Danish to reinforce the message and that hasn't worked, so I'm now making it clear that the purchase or not of two half season tickets hangs on this. I'm not sure that others will be the same as well, and not going down that route if Jimmy Floyd is at the wheel. Yeah, well, the interest that Jimmy Floyd has in the role was obviously revealed by Richard Corley during the week. Hopefully Thomas is not interested in Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, but there we go. Right, John says, one change he's noticed over the last few games is the lack of Fancy Dan passing out from the back from goal kicks. which is very welcome. CFC Facts and Stats said it was a good point away from home. Always disappointing to let a two-goal lead slip, but now 14 points from the last six games, which is a vast difference from where we were 5 weeks ago. Cracking trip as well. Lancaster, well worth a visit. Yeah, we had a nice stopover in Lancaster on the way up. I've been there before on my honeymoon, actually. It's a really nice little place. Ackers wants to see Jed Roddy sacked. Lee Fender says, a great start, but the lads are clearly tired. The depth we screamed out for during the window has been depleted, so we need them back ASAP to let these boys get some respite. Sandgaard needs to lock Jacko down so we can focus on getting some fresh blood in during the transfer window. Yeah, we are at that point now, Ben, as we sort of said, where injuries, suspensions and all that start to catch up a little bit. So whereas it has been frustrating, I think it certainly played a part on Tuesday, the fact we couldn't hold on. I mean, it does show that actually we're doing really well to be on the run we are. I think that I don't think there's any teams other than Charlton who've got as many points as we have in the last six games, maybe one other team. I don't think anyone's got more than we have. So we're certainly the form team at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. I think I was looking at it Saturday to beat top of the table with players in different, like Sean Clare playing in a position. Your captain goes off injured, so you have to put Chris Gunter there, who's normally a right back. And I thought he played well when he came on Saturday. And yeah, we are missing key personnel at the moment, but we're still on a really good run. And it just shows what momentum and confidence can do for this team. And I thought it was showing again in that first half. And second half, I think obviously we lost a little bit of confidence conceding a goal and then conceding the other goal, but it's definitely, look, we've still got a lot of confidence about this team, so we're still playing good football, and these players look slowly like they're coming back into the team, so hopefully that can only breed more good performances.
Yeah, Rotherham, Charlton and Portsmouth, the three teams, have got 14 points in their last six games, so we're all sort of tied at the top of the form table. Rotherham have just got, scored a few more, only a couple more than we have. So, yeah, really tight, but we're definitely up there in terms of excellent form at the moment. Colin says he agrees with Lee. I hope the people making the decisions can see the bigger picture and understand why they were tired and leggy versus Morecambe and the lack of depth, especially from injuries. Fish says, I think Gunter is a change that most people would like to see for. However, there is no one to come in for him on Saturday. Deji could do the trick, but a lot of responsibility to put on the young lad. Probably bring Lecco in if he's fit for DJ. He's gone from playing nothing to a lot of football in a short time frame, so he could be getting tired as well. Yeah, fair point. Rachel says, we look tired from the weekend. It might be worth switching to four. Any news on when Matthews and Innes might be back? Well, I'm not hearing anything about either of them, actually, from Jacko today. Even though you can see the tiredness, everyone was trying, working together, backing each other up. Gilby deserves a mention. He is relentless in the midfield. Alan says, on another night, a point away from home, you probably take it if it was, but they scored, we scored that type of match. But being 2-0 up and cruising, it's 2 points dropped. Until the pen, they were beaten, but we didn't lose. And if we get 3 points versus Shrewsbury, we'll be okay again. If Jason Pearce isn't fit, then put Deji in for Gunter instead. And Stuart said, a tired but committed performance. At times, we looked far superior on technique, but didn't hammer home our advantage. But still a good point. And a month ago, we would have lost that game. Excellent stuff. Right, let's start to turn our attention then to this Saturday's trip up to take on Shrewsbury at the New Meadow. Obviously a familiar foe for us, that playoff semi-final a few years ago. We've always had really interesting games. So obviously a 4-3 defeat when Ricky Holmes got that hat-trick. We had that game there last season where we conceded a last-minute penalty and Johnny Jackson had a massive go at Johnny Williams and took him off for diving out of a challenge late on. What else did we have there? We had a game where Darren Prattley scored a screamer. So all sorts of crazy things happen when we tend to visit the New Meadow. And looking forward to Saturday as well. It's not a Shrewsbury team in the best of form. Obviously, sort of stayed up only by a few points by the end of last season. This season, they're sat in the relegation zone, had a difficult start to the season. We spoke to Lewis Cox from the Shropshire Star earlier on today to find out why and if it's fair to say, really, that it's been a disappointing start.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Certainly the first couple of months of the season were particularly difficult. Wins were very few and far between, really. Regular defeats were conceding goals and not scoring goals, just not a good recipe, is it? Struggling for clean sheets, something they're still doing, to be fair. It was quite bleak early on. They've seemed in the last maybe half a dozen league games or so to have turned a bit of a corner, I would say, results-wise and performance-wise.
Mm. I mean, what were the like expectations coming into the season? Because I guess, you know, other than that one really good season where they got into the playoff final, I guess they are sort of traditionally sort of strugglers in this league.
Yeah, yeah. Well, interestingly, you know, you mentioned that season. It is now it's the seventh season they've been in League One now, which is, you know, for the stature of the club, it is quite impressive, really, I think, you know, to have done seven. But you're right, that's sort of perennial strugglers, really, other than the odd exception. But, you know, because of how sort of Steve Cottrell came in this time last year, in fact, actually, funnily enough, Saturday the game is exactly a year in charge for him, exactly a year. But when he came in, obviously, he sorted them right out. He got them out of trouble, to be honest, and still did great things while he was obviously, you know, desperately ill, you know, in hospital, like, obviously, for the second half of last season, still sort of managing them from afar, did great work in sort of helping them get over the line, really, which is pretty hard when you haven't got a manager in the building. So because of that, good start to the summer transfer window. They were kind of, you know, some people thought, you know, they might have this little sort of fairy tale where the manager returns and they have a great time of it. I think expectations were just, you know, to try and improve, to not have the relegation fears they usually have, you know, to push towards that mid-table. If they can sneak into the top half, then brilliant, you know, have a push. But just to try and be, you know, just try and be secure and safe. You know, they've established themselves in this division. They want to now, you know, try and go to that next stage, which is trying to, you know, compete in the middle of it rather than, you know, constantly looking over their shoulders, as I say. But it hasn't sort of come off yet. And, you know, they need to start winning more regularly to get up there. I mean, it's pretty tight at the bottom. The entire bottom half is separated by not a lot. You know, run of, as yourselves know, flying up the table in the last few weeks, you know, a few wins on the bounce, and you can really shoot up there, but they're yet to show they can do that on a spin in the league. Mm. But as I say, it has improved of late, performances and results. Yeah. In the last six, they've got something like 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 defeats. It's a bit of, you know, a bit consistently inconsistent in terms of that, but yeah, you know, performance levels have improved. They've not really been beaten heavily. They've got an honest group, and a core of decent to good players, I would say, but they're quite light on depth, you know, really small squad, and unavailability starting to hit a bit. They had 5 out on Tuesday and it was really slim pickings. Really slim pickings, players playing out of position, but credit to them, you know, 10 men got fought back for a draw against Sunderland, which is some going. So shows they're performing all right and obviously giving it all for him.
Yeah, and obviously they're playing for Steve Cotterill. I'm guessing that the fans are still sort of behind him after the work he did last year and obviously coming back from that illness as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think fans were a bit, you know, they found how the transfer window closed a bit strange in terms of it sort of missed out on a couple of targets, and they didn't sort of have backup options to go for. It left the squad quite light, full stop, but certainly light in a couple of positions. So that, you know, the fans weren't sure about that, and they're thinking, yeah, you know, it's potentially going to bite us, you know, sooner rather than later. And it probably did. Obviously, it started quite badly. And, you know, there have been one or two incidents where the fans have been really frustrated, you know, particularly earlier on, when they, you know, they were losing games frequently, they conceding goals quite frequently, you know, couldn't keep clean sheets. Now, all right, they weren't being beaten heavily, but they weren't keeping clean sheets. So fans weren't entirely, you know, satisfied. They were, you know, they had their frustration at it, and one or two things off the field. But yeah, I mean, I think the fans have taken heart from the last, I'd say, 6 weeks or so, maybe 2 months. They've taken some heart from it, and they, you know, starting to see a group that might, you know, that should be able to push and get the results needed to get out of trouble, I would say. They still think, because of how the window went, that things need to happen in January to, you know, good, solid couple of additions to sort them out and be able to get them out of trouble.
Yeah.
The fans, you know, the manager, the club, no one expected to be, you know, where they are in the bottom four, 21st, after, what is it, 3-4 months of the season. No one expected that at all. You know, they are, you know, in terms of the league table, underperforming from what they wanted to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does, there has been evidence of, you know, turning a bit of a corner. So they're kind of looking to build on that at this stage, I would say.
Hmm. And who would you say the most dangerous players that the Cheltenham fans should be looking out for on Saturday?
Over this little run, they've kind of, some players have begun to settle in some positions, while some have been unavailable and some have had to force to be moved around. You know, they've come across a front two of Daniel Udo and Ryan Bowman together, which, you know, has worked of late really well. They are two honest, hard-working centre forwards who will run all day. You know, this is a low scoring side with, you know, not really prolific players, but the two of them have got, you know, six, I think Bowman's got 6 and Udo's got 5. So, you know, they have started to find the net. Another player who's been excellent for them is Luke Lee, the left back who they signed from Bristol Rovers in the summer. He was relegated with Rovers, but sort of come in, started playing on the left, you know, in his natural position, did really well, and was kind of shunted into central midfield because they were light on numbers. Did really well from there, gets goals. I mean, I think he's got 4 or 5 himself. And then, incredibly, on Tuesday night, he had to play in the middle of a back three because of numbers, and did well. So he's a great all-round player. But yeah, it's a difficult period. In the last week, they found out Sean Worley, who is obviously the sort of long-serving sort of fans' favourite, really 34, but still a very influential attacker. I mean, he's been ruled out for 3 or 4 months, I think, with a thigh injury. There were others, you know, Tuesday night against Sunderland, they missed 2 senior centre-halves who, you know, through slight knocks, so really had to shuffle it around. Elliot Bennett, who's a wing-back, you know, really experienced lad, missed it for a 1-game suspension, but he'll return. But then midfielder David Davis, experienced midfielder, got sent off on Tuesday night. So, you know, he'll potentially miss it, although we found out today that they have appealed that ban. So they're currently waiting to find out whether David Davis will be available to play midfield against Charlton. But it's a big call, really. He will be a miss because he's kind of their anchor in midfield. And if he's missing, it will be more sort of shuffling around, switching around, which isn't ideal, you know. So they have, those two up front have done really well, and they're honest, and they will, you know, they'll give Charlton defenders a hard time, I think, just in terms of their effort and started finding the net. But as I say, it has been slim pickings of late.
There we go. Thanks to Lewis for joining us, friend of the pod for a few years now. He's always there for a good bit of Shrews information for us. And yeah, not been the season that they would have hoped for this year, Mark. But, I mean, they have had a slight upturn, got a good point against Sunderland on Tuesday with only 10 men. So, I mean, again, if we go into any game in this season underestimating the opposition, we're going to be found out. And we'll need to be on the very top of our game to go and get a result that, if we do get 3 points on Saturday, then you'd say 7 points out of 9 would be a very good week for us.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I just spoke a minute ago about having a camera in the changing room. And Jacko said, we're going to, you know, we've won today, we're going to go to Morecambe and win, then we're going to Shrewsbury and win. And you do wonder if the opposition manager is going to say, so see, they're going to face it, they're going to beat us, and use that slightly as a motivational tool. Now, we know, with the form we're in, we're now the ones who are going to be shot down. We know we were looking to do it to other teams, and we weren't able to do that until Jacko came in. So now we're the ones, you know, going and saying, you know, you've got to, we're the big dogs now. It's hard because, Shrewsbury aren't in great form. We, you know, we've had a long journey and stuff, and we're missing a few players. But I think, you know, we've got enough about us. You know, we do have goals now through the team. Purrington's been putting a few in. You know, obviously, Gilby, I'd like to see score more. Lee's got potential up front. Washington's in great form. You know, you'd like one of the centre-halves to sort of like pop up and look more dangerous. But we are in DJ's. I think he'll start DJ. I know you're saying about he might be tired, but I think, you know, after the goal on Tuesday and the work he was doing, I think he's a player who's going, look, I want to play. I want to be. Give me the ball. I want it. And I think that's what you need in the team. I think we've got goals all around. you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't have Stockley. That's one of those things. Davison could pop up with a hat trick and prove us all wrong. So I think we've got enough to go there and damage them. Do they have enough to scare us? You know, if we're organised, no, they don't. So, you know, I hate to say confident in any kind of thing. I mean, I've followed them for too long to say I'm confident in any kind of result. But I'm confident in Jacko to get what he can out of those players he's got. He's going to say to him, look, you know, you weren't at it at Morecambe and we got a draw. So, you know, put it up 10% as I know you can, and we will win. We will get what we deserve. So my confidence is in Jacko to get what he can out of whatever players he's playing on Saturday. So fingers crossed.
Excellent stuff. Right, I've got a little bit of team news then from Jacko. As I said, he hasn't done a presser today, but I did ask him on Tuesday if he could give us any update on the injury to the skipper, Jason Pearce.
No, I don't know sort of the longevity of it. Obviously, he took a fair old whack, Pearcey, and you know what he's like. If he could have sort of patched it up and got through it today, then he would have done that. So he's obviously significant enough for us to leave him behind. Whether he'll be available for the weekend, I don't know yet.
Is there anyone else likely to be back, like Jonathan or?
Yeah, Lico's most likely to be involved. He travelled with the squad. It's a bit too soon for him tonight because he's not really trained. But we wanted him with us so we could keep him around the group, and Josh Hornby, the sports scientist, can keep him close and get the work in that we need to get in, because obviously there's not going to be a lot of training days this week, so we need him close to us so we can monitor everything he's doing and make a call on whether he'll be available for the weekend.
Reasonably good news then that sounds like Lecco will be involved in the squad. Whether that means he starts is obviously a question. Someone did tweet in and say they'd start him over DJ, which you can understand because he has played a lot of football. But I mean, so it probably almost certainly will be a game, Ben, without any new defensive options available, because it sounds like Pearce will still be out. So the question is then, as someone asked earlier, do you keep Gunter in that centre of the defence? I mean, could you play Fainwell there and shift Gunter out to right, where he did really well in that three? I mean, I think it was Rachel who said maybe we could even go to a four. I mean, I'd be surprised if Jacko wanted to change a formation that's worked for us very well. But I mean, the other option obviously is maybe Deji comes in and he could play either on the right of the three or Fainwell in the middle. So I mean, do you see Jacko making a decision to change that back line, Ben, or do you think he sort of sticks with what he knows? And you know, Gunter did do pretty well for the final 10, 20 minutes, whatever it was, when he came on against, well, it's longer than that. When would a Pearcey go off? I can't remember, against Plymouth. But, you know, does he get dropped because he gave away a penalty? I'd be surprised.
I'd stick with it. I'd stick with the same team. And maybe him and Sean Clare could always change positions a little bit, and you stick Sean Clare more at centre-back. But look, Gunter was coming up against the top goal scorer in the league. Carl Stockton was a top goal scorer in League One so far this year. I know it's bizarre him playing for Morecambe, he's a top goal scorer. But he is. So he's probably rubbing his hands thinking, Charlton have got three of their main centre-backs out injured. I'm going to try and terrorise this guy and I'm going to wind him up, pull his shirt, let him pull mine. And he'd done a good job on him. So look, there you go. We're playing against a team now in Shrewsbury who haven't got many goals in their team. So he should have an easier time than playing up against the top goal scorer. So I'll stick with the same team. As I said, we were playing really good football, and if we wouldn't have conceded a goal so quick, I could have seen us going on to score more goals, unless there's any little knocks from Tuesday. But I'll stick with the same team. But you might have the luxury of having someone like Lecco on the bench that can cause more damage than Blackett, Taylor and Kirk did when they came on Tuesday. So that could be good. And then you've got next Tuesday the Pizza Trophy game against Villa coming up. So these fringe players like Albie Morgan, Harry Arter, Ben Watson can have a game against them and get some good minutes to show, look, Jacko, I'm here, I'm playing a good game and I'm ready to take the shirt when needed. So that'll give some vital minutes to players like that. But the players that played on Tuesday did enough. They had a good game. We conceded a second sloppy goal. But do they warrant being dropped? I don't think so at the moment. I think they've shown enough over the last few games that, look, that was a little drop-off in his energy levels on Tuesday. We've had 2 days off now, little light session tomorrow before the game, and hopefully we can see similar to what we saw against Plymouth again.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at that game against Shrewsbury. Hopefully we'll be celebrating the continuation of our unbeaten run. At the very least. Thanks to those of you who've got involved with the show. Thank you as well to Mark and Ben. Good to speak to you both.
Cheers, Luke.
Cheers, mate.
Good to have you on the pod. Right, I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening, and we shall see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.